Hey everybody, it is the Goots Cast. We're only doing one episode this week, AEW Dynamite. I gotta tell you, this was the most anticipated Dynamite I've ever covered. I was so excited today for it. I actually had plans canceled. I was happy to see it. And it fucking stunk. It was not a good fucking episode. Wow, is it bad. It was
really— I wouldn't say this was the most anticipated episode.
No, for me personally.
Oh, for you, yeah. This was a very ho-hum episode. Very, very bad episode.
This was not... I'll tell you what makes it extra bad is how good Friday was. And then they followed up with this garbage. I was like... When the main event started, I'm like, all right, they're going to have something big happen in this main event. And then... Man,
I'm gonna tell you something.
What?
I'm going to tell you something. AEW is going out of business right now. So like, every time they tell better, I'm going to be like, they're going out of business. They fucking suck.
Dude, this was so fuck. How do you follow up? Like, dude, all fucking week, Tony Khan's been on radio giving himself a victory lap. And I'm like, did you even think about writing this show, or did you think CM Punk just walking out? And even that, first of all, let's talk about the main thing about tonight. The crowd fucking stunk. There was not a good crowd.
I don't blame the crowd.
Yeah, I know. That's true.
You know what? You give them something to cheer about, and you give them something exciting, and they won't be a shitty crowd.
Yeah,
because they proved it tonight. They proved it. There were points where they proved they could have been good.
It did. Although they had to really, we'll get to it. Let's just start from the beginning.
Yeah, let's start from the beginning. This is coming to us live from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The first match, I said they should have started with fucking CM Punk. Again, they should have, but they didn't. They're gonna start off with Orange Cassidy versus Matt Hardy match. This match is so boring that I was watching the audience. I don't know if you noticed this. There were two assholes sitting facing the hard cam who was standing up during the first part of the match. And if you've ever been to a wrestling event, those people are assholes because people behind them can't see, right? Mm-hmm. So then when he finally sat down, people cheered. Did you see that part?
No, I didn't see that part.
Well, it was more exciting than this wrestling match. Orange Cassidy, there's a point where Orange Cassidy goes up on top and hits a crossbody, lands right on Matt Hardy's face, fucking busts up his nose, there's blood gushing everywhere. They do this thing where Matt Hardy tries to do like a sunset flip thing, but Orange Cassidy just sits right on him, with his hands in his pockets, and that's cover, and he wins with a sit-down victory. This match sucked, and this will not be the only fucking sloppy match tonight.
Sloppy. Blood already in the first match. Matt Hardy should not be getting the push he's getting. And even like the corny stuff where he put his hands up and pulled out the money. It just felt like an indie wrestling match on live TV. They've gotta move away from this indie wrestling match style on national TV. They've got to. It's not like, oh, what are you going to do to WWE style? No, because ECW, to an extent, when they had to. All right, let's fuck ECW. WCW could have TV matches that were like real matches that were not WWE style, didn't feel like indie shit. They got to get away from this fucking indie shit. This match felt like it should be in an armory in front of four people. It was fucking horrible.
Yeah, this match was... I did not like this match. It was a boring way to start the show. The crowd was not into this show. I mean, into this match.
No.
Terrible way to start.
Nobody takes Matt Hardy seriously anymore as a threat.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to see him wrestle people.
Yeah. They show a little video package of Malachi Black and Brock Anderson, what led up to it. Jericho comes to the ring. He gives a very long promo about he wants one more match with MJF at All Out. And if he loses, he will stop wrestling in AEW. Remember, not leave AEW, just stop wrestling in AEW.
Yeah, yeah.
MJF comes out and gives such a long-winded promo. And then I'll give you the match.
Can I do the promo? I don't want to give you the match. Why should I give you the match? You're a loser. You know what? I'll give you the match.
Yeah, it was... So it was pointless. He was like, I'm not giving you the match. I beat you three times. You don't want the match? I'm going to give you the match. I was like, it's so stupid. It was so long.
I thought he was going to come out and be like, you know what? You had the match, but you can't fucking be an announcer. Other wrestlers pulled that shit and they came back. No, 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 no. If I win, you're fired from AEW. You're not allowed in, even in the
building. Yeah, they should. That's what they should have done. They should have been like, no, how about this? No, not you. If you lose, I don't want you to just stop wrestling. I want you to quit AEW. I want you to retire, leave wrestling.
Because if Jericho's in the building, why wouldn't he just attack MJF eventually again?
Yeah, oh my God. Dude, this first match and this opening segment took 30 fucking minutes. This is basically 1/4 of the show. It was so
fucking... Let me tell you something. Yeah. Even if Jericho loses, which I don't think he's going to lose this match. Let's say he does. There is no way he's not going to wrestle again. If he has to hold CM Punk by gunpoint, he's getting a match with CM Punk before they both leave AEW. He's not going to not get that match. Jericho wants one more match with CM Punk. He's not going to...
Yeah, go keep going.
He's not going to let that slip through his fingers. He's not. If he has to fucking hold Tony Khan's family, if he has to light Tony Khan's father on fire, he's getting that fucking match. So I already know that even if he loses, they're not going to hold that stipulation with this guy. There is no way.
I do not want to watch another MJF Jericho match. They've had 3 matches.
They have no chemistry.
MJF has won 3 times. They should leave it like that. If Jericho wins, it's like you're not really putting over the fucking young guys anymore. You know, like you're getting your win back. Just fucking let him win. Let him be like no, like,
but like well, they, like they should never beat MJF. They should not have done the match last week. They should have just built towards the 5th labor. All right, you got through the 4 labors. You're gonna get me an all out, and then add the stipulation, like, or if you're gonna do this 4th match between these 2 idiots, fucking put it in a make it like a crazy stipulation, not a crazy stipulation, a crazy match, like a ladder match, or a fucking thumbtack match, or a match where their balls are on fire. I don't know, something like wild, or like a rather than just another singles match.
This match sucked. Yeah, I mean, this promo shit sucked.
I'm so sick of him. I'm so sick of his dumb face when the crowd sings to him. It's so fucking obnoxious.
Oh God, he's so yeah. He's
oh wow, like, you guys, wow, isn't this he like always? It just always feels like so like fake. I can't stand Jericho anymore.
Yeah,
he's not going anywhere though. I got news for you.
Yeah,
that's the thing. That's why I don't like this segment, because we all know he's not going to go anywhere, and he literally says that I'll just do Rampage every Friday. And sometimes he
goes,
Dynamite.
He goes, so yeah, I'll do actually a commentary. Leave. It's like, yeah, it's stupid. That is the adjective of the night for the show. Stupid. Match number 2, which I thought would have been, it was going to be a good match. Lucha Brothers versus Varsity Blondes. Winner advances to the, to face the fucking Jurassic Express. Winner faces the Young Bucks at All Out. The Varsity Blondes cut a promo at the beginning of this match. And they, all the fucking, the Young Bucks came out. Before the match begins, the Young Bucks and the fucking Good Brothers and shit, they come out and they watch again from the ramp. There is some sloppiness in this fucking match as well. They really botched this one spot in the middle where it takes the audience right out of this match because it's so blatant. It was such a blatant, like, oh, he totally missed me, but let me just go to him anyway. It was so fucking stupid. The Lucha Brothers hit an assisted pile driver on Pillman for the win, and they will advance. Afterwards, there is some fucking buffoonery where the fucking Lucha Express and the Lucha Brothers, Jurassic Express face off. The Young Bucks push them into each other. They're like, hey, why did you bump into me? It wasn't us. It was the Young Bucks. Oh, let's go get... It was so fucking stupid. This was like... This is the kind of booking like a fucking 10-year-old does, you know? Tony Khan needs to fucking stop getting a big head and be like, I need to, like, go around and do press about fucking CM Punk. Go back to fucking writing the show better, all right? I need you to fucking write the show better. This match sucked.
I know I used to be high on this kid because he was the son of Brian Pillman. He's not very good. He just looks like his dad.
You know what he has? I like his intensity. I really like his intensity.
I know, but like the Lucha Brothers, I don't think are to blame for the match sucking. these two guys, they look like they just stepped out of like WCW jobber school from 1991. And I get that's what they're supposed to look like. Mm-hmm. But like, nobody, I think sometimes like we hardcore wrestling nerds have nostalgia for stuff like the Dynamic Dudes and the Rock and Roll Express.
Oh, of course. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
But the general public doesn't. So when these guys walk out looking like they're from 1990, nobody thinks it's cool. The general public just like gives a fuck about these two guys. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I was thinking when I was watching this is actually Griff Garrison is not that good. And no, I think they need to break this tag team up. I'm like, they're too, they look too much alike. There's too many tag teams. There's too many fucking tag teams there. This tag team, Varsity Blondes, will never be at the top as a tag team.
No, you just always know they're going to lose. Yeah. And
just break them up. Just fucking break them up.
Again, like it just has the stench of failure on. It looks like something that failed in WCW.
What do you call it? Brian Pillman, he's still like a little green in the ring, but what he has like good intensity, and he sells better than a lot of the people on their fucking program. There was a point where he looked at the camera and was just like doing facials, and like he does some of that old school like intensity and fire, which I do like. But I was like, this guy needs to be away from this whole fucking thing. Of I know this guy never played sports either, so why does he need the fucking Varsity Blondes?
Because I don't know. Because I think this is supposed to be a tribute to the old good looking young guy tag teams of the 80s. But nobody is, dude. There's such a small. Dude, most people's nostalgia for wrestling goes to WWE in the 80s. There's very few people that like remember and love the Fabulous Ones or the Fantastics or the Wild Out Southern Boys.
Yeah, I understand. Or
Dynamic Dudes. But Tony Khan is like tapping into that. And those people are not paying tickets or buying action figures. Or I kind of have nostalgia for those teams because I know when I see like a good-looking Southern tag team, it's going to be a good match. Like, if I'm watching an old 80s show, it's going to be an okay. At the very least, like, the Fabulous Ones are going to have an okay match. But I don't want to fucking watch them. I'd rather watch fucking Roddy Piper and Hillbilly Jim.
Yeah. They got to break this tag team up. They got to fucking break them up.
It's nostalgia for something that doesn't even exist, that no one had nostalgia for.
Yep. It's got to break it up. Not a sloppy match. Not, it's better than the fucking first match, but that's not saying much.
Yeah.
And that fucking shit at the end was so stupid. That whole buffoonery shit. That was
The Young Bucks again. They walk out.
So dumb.
They walk out and it's just like these guys shouldn't be on TV. Dude, they're so bad. They're so bad. I don't care how good wrestlers they are. They are their facial expressions. It's like, you know, X-Pac heat, it's worse than that. It's like I don't even want to watch next week, to be honest with you. If I'm home, if I don't have a spot or anything, I'm just not going to watch. That's how bad this week was.
Yeah, this week was really bad. It was tonight was really bad.
It was, you know, but it got me mad. You know what it got me fucking mad? It's because, guys, you fucking had magic on Friday. And then you just deliver the same goofy shit. Do you not understand that some of this isn't working? There's just like this. Anyway.
Fucking Lesser Khan was like doing too much of a victory lap over the weekend.
Lesser Khan.
Yeah, he's a Lesser Khan. The better Khan is Nick Khan. Nick Khan is the better Khan. You know why? Because Nick Khan, he does his fucking job right every fucking week, probably.
You know,
Lesser Khan, I'm pretty sure he was doing a victory lap, doing all this press about, yeah, guys, look what we did. Look what we did on Friday. And he didn't focus on his show. And that's why the show suffered. You need to stop doing interviews, go in the fucking back and fucking make the dude, you're in the infancy stages. Do your fucking job, bro.
Yeah. You know, I gotta say this too. WWF throughout the years has had no problem bailing on someone or some tag team. And sometimes they do it like too soon, where they bury the guy too soon.
They do it way too soon.
Damien Sandow. But sometimes they do it. Sometimes it's, you know, like the Youngs, like I don't know, like Paul. Sometimes it's at the right path. It's like, okay, now it's time to bail this guy because not everyone. They don't seem to do that here. They seem to just keep things going even when it doesn't work. They don't retool it. They don't like. They just kind of keep it going and they keep it on the show. And that's what that whole between the Varsity Blondes, the Young Bucks. Like, I know the Young Bucks I think I want to say to Tony Khan, dude, the Elite, those four guys, they got you in the door. You're in the door. You don't need them anymore. They're not good enough for the talent that is good enough to be on this show, you know?
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, I to be fair, I honestly believe the tag titles are coming off them at All Out.
I really, they better. They better.
Yeah.
But this whole tag team term is a waste of time. It would have been better served just having the Jurassic Express and the Young Bucks just feuding for 2 weeks. Like, why do you need a tournament when we already know that they deserve a rematch anyway?
Yeah, it's stupid. Yeah. All right. They got a Pac Andrade video package for All Out.
We're going to Andrade, by the way.
Who?
On what are they doing so great with Andrade that they didn't do in WWE? That's what I want to know. Like, this, he looks like fair, he's doing the same shit.
He just got there, so I'm going to give him some time. Because when Miro first got there, they were, like, trying to figure that out. They got a little – they're better with Miro now, but I think they're still trying to figure out what to do.
So
I'll give him benefit of doubt.
I just think he looks so much better with Lena Vega than Chavo. Again, Chavo – I used to like Chavo. Chavo just has a stench of failure. Mm-hmm. Like, what is he going to teach you? How to fucking lose?
I don't know. Hair clips for men.
You remember he's in those commercials? That's when he lost me.
And then he's his fucking head,
too. Stench of failure.
Stop getting their money.
That's what this episode should have been called. You know how they call Fighter Fest? They should go AEW stench of failure, because that's what it really was all my life.
Match number three, Jamie Hayter, who did look like a fucking star coming out. She looked good. Her presentation, she looks great. Versus Red Velvet, who came out with a stupid fucking apron on. It was so fucking bad.
Oh, that apron. I wanted to strangle her with that fucking apron.
Oh my god. I don't know if she's trying to like, dude, I want some merch.
So you stir it up with me.
God, dude. So fucking bad. Okay, so I used to be a big Red Velvet fan because I used to watch her on Dark, and I was like, before she was getting on Dynamite, I was like, this girl's got something. And I was like, she's gonna get big. And to be fair, the pacing of this match was really good. I like the fast pace, and Red Velvet could take some sick bumps, but this girl cannot sell for shit. She gets hit, falls down like it hurts, and then gets right back up and gets ready for the next spot. It's like, it's fucking terrible storytelling. She sold absolutely nothing. The thing she sold the most was when she fucking hit a standing moonsault and missed and landed on her face, and she stayed down. Did you see that? When she fucking missed the moonsault? Yeah. It was so bad, I thought they did it on purpose. Like, I thought that was supposed to be part of the match. We're supposed to miss. And Jamie Hayter, to her credit, when Red Velvet fucked up like two or three spots, she like no-sold it. Like, she acted like, yeah, she fucked that up and I'm going to take advantage of her, which was what every fucking wrestler should do. She hits a clothesline and Jamie Hayter wins. Afterwards, I'm assuming this is the fucking end of Red Velvet's push. You're going to stop seeing, we should stop seeing her on Dynamite.
Yeah.
Afterwards, fucking Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter and Rebel, they all attack Red. Chris Statland comes in to make the save. Fucking stupid match.
Let me say something.
Yes.
Everyone's shitting on Becky Lynch turning heel. They're like, ooh, whatever, that WWE's doing that. But honestly, isn't that what Britt Baker is? Like, someone that everybody likes. Like, it doesn't – the Britt Baker thing is so weird to me because – are we supposed, like, the rules of the show, am I supposed to be cheering her but also booing her? Like, she's beating up this poor defenseless woman. She's a bad guy, but also we all cheer for her, and CM Punk talks about her. So, like, what the fuck is your – is she a bad guy or not? Because, like, we're all cheering for her, so then turn her into a good guy. But they don't. They keep her as a bad guy, but it just is, like, so fucking stupid.
I don't really have a problem with that.
They're going to do that now with Becky Lynch, basically. She's going to act like a heel.
I don't have a problem with that either. Mm-hmm. The only thing I had a problem with was her squashing Bianca Belair. But if anybody had squashed her like that, I would have been.
I mean, but what I'm saying is, I don't like either. I'm just saying, like, just fucking. What is? Why are you not making her a face? Everyone likes just make her a fucking face. Like, that's like, what are you waiting for?
So you don't like tweeners?
No, fuck that. She's not a tweener. She's a fucking heel. Make her a face. Everyone likes her, so make her the good guy, and make fucking Alien Badingo, where the fuck her name is, the bad guy.
That's her name. Yeah, Alien Badingo.
Yeah, Chris Stanlander. Like, I'm just like, it's just stupid. It's dumb. Like, everyone likes this fucking bitch, so make her a fucking good guy. Why the fuck?
Yeah.
It's just counterproductive. But Red Velvet sucked. Jamie Hayter, hot, really hot, really looks cool. And also Excalibur gave some good background on her.
Yes.
But the match sucked.
Red Velvet, I mean, like, she does take some sick-ass bumps.
Doesn't matter, she stinks.
But she stinks, man. She just can't sell. Someone needs to fucking, like, go there. You can't
keep putting these people that shouldn't be on TV on TV.
I don't understand why they hire all these veterans, but none of the veterans are in the back telling these people how to, you gotta fucking sell shit.
Yeah, why? If you have Arn Anderson.
What?
Arn Anderson said on his podcast he's just talent. Why do you have Arn Anderson? And we'll get into that in a second, because I got a lot to say about that last one. Why do you have Arn Anderson taking fucking bumps? What? That's a waste of your money. Have him there being like, right, Red Velvet, what the fuck was that? Let me tell you what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, yeah. I wish somebody was in the back after this match and being like, hey, those are some nice bumps you took. But what the fuck were you doing out there? Like, why were you getting, why were you popping up right away after every fucking thing that was happening? Like, you were popping up and getting ready. It was like they were trying to fit like 20 minutes material in a 5-minute set. It was just like, dude,
fucking stunk.
If you only tell one joke in that 5-minute set, but it's a really fucking good joke, then that's all you fucking need. You don't need to fucking squeeze 20 fucking jokes in 5 minutes. Nobody fucking cares. You're just stepping all over your fucking laughs. It's stupid. And that's what this was.
Tell him, Andrew Lee, bro.
Yeah. Dark Order promo. Evil Uno was giving a fucking thingy. And then Alex goes, he's talking about, what's his fucking name? Hangman Page. Alex Reynolds is like, we left him out there. And then I got a problem with you, Evil Uno. Why are you in charge? So Alex Reynolds and John Silver leave the group, and they look like there's some tension. Good, because there's too many fucking tag teams in this group.
Well, I don't understand why, you know, they never really fully capitalized on this group after Brody died. They never really went all the way with them. They should have got at least the tag belts, like last February or March. I kind of think this is leading to something with, oh, by Cole Cabana, the two lines he had, he could not have given less of a fuck delivering them. Did you hear him?
Yeah.
He looked like he didn't want to be here. I think this is leading to something with Bray Wyatt.
This could be. Yeah. I mean, this is the first time they're showing some kind of tension between the group. And one of the things that AEW kind of does well is they do like a nice slow building storylines. They might not know how to end it. Yeah, they might not know how to end shit, but they do know how to build things. I will say that. So this could be the beginning. Absolutely. Then comes, at the start of the second hour, the only good part of this entire show. Tony Schiavone's in the ring. He welcomes CM Punk. CM Punk comes in. Tony Schiavone's trying to ask him a question. They keep chanting CM Punk so loudly he can't hear them. They laugh. CM Punk's so happy. And he goes, Tony Schiavone's question is, why'd you come back? What's the one reason you came back? And he goes, all of them, Penta fucking Zero, Jungle Boy. Yeah, he goes, I want all those guys, but especially you, Darby. By the way, this was a good promo. He actually cut a, you know how you said, like, because CM Punk is there, if you don't step up to his level, you're going to look shitty.
Yeah.
Right. This was an example. That's an example of
this was this entire show.
Yeah. And he was calling out, he looked right into the camera, fucking pointed, didn't speak a million words a second. He fucking just said what he needed to say, not the most amount of words, but fucking every word was important. Talk about Darby, pointed him out. The crowd starts chanting yes, start doing the yes, yes thing. CM Punk looks around, he goes, that's actually someone else's shtick. You guys just need to be a little bit more patient. The crowd just goes, ah! And they collectively have an orgasm.
They actually make that, they go, ah!
That's exactly what happened. After he said, you gotta be a little patient, you see people in the audience go, ah! Like, they were like, oh my gosh. And then he says hello to his beautiful wife, April, to let her know
that, isn't that fucking
I'm still being good out here. I'm still being a good boy out here. And then, because he's so happy, he goes outside after the thing. He starts high-fiving everybody around the fucking ringside. There's this guy wearing a black CM Punk shirt. He fucking notices it, and he fucking points it out. He goes, dude, where'd you get that fucking shirt? He loved it. Fucking give me high fives, everybody. Great segment. There were a lot of CM Punk shirts tonight. There were so many.
The opening pop wasn't that strong.
No. But
then once he came out, it got bigger. You're right. It was a great promo. I would not have had Tony Schiavone in the ring.
No, I wouldn't.
I would have just had. I don't think they ever need to do that again.
You know what I would have done?
With CM Punk.
Start off with CM Punk. Music hit. He comes into the ring, and then when he gets into the ring, then Tony Schiavone just comes to the ring with no entrance. Just come in, you know.
I think CM Punk should just always cut his own promos. Yeah. He doesn't need to be interviewed.
But this is why I don't blame the audience, because when CM Punk, yeah, you're right. When he first came out, it wasn't a big pop because they were already so fucking bored from the garbage hour that they saw, that they were so subdued. But then when CM Punk started getting into this fucking act of like firing people up and shit, they got into it. So if you gave the people something interesting, they would have been fired up. It's that the whole first hour was garbage. That was a whole waste of a first hour.
It was really bad. And it's going to keep getting worse. Let's keep going.
I might say the first hour of tonight's show was probably the worst hour of Dynamite I've ever seen.
Wow. I wouldn't say it's that bad, but
I'm not gonna say the whole episode because the CM Punk thing was good. But the whole first hour.
It's very bad that they followed. There's gonna be people that are gonna, I've had a lot of people who don't mention AEW to me, mention AEW. So there's gonna be people that tuned in to AEW tonight. And I guarantee you they were like same shit, different day, and they're not gonna turn back on.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. I can see that. Yeah. Miro's in the back. He's going, I forgave Fuego because that's a bigger idiot than him.
Fucking idiot.
Kingston. I want Eddie Kingston. And he drops my beautiful wife again. I'm pretty sure Lana's coming in. I do not give a shit if she's in this company. But he keeps talking about his beautiful wife. I'm pretty sure she's coming in. I don't fucking care.
I didn't care about any of this. This made me sick.
Yeah, yeah, but she's coming. Lana's coming. He keeps
mentioning. I don't care.
Yeah. But what the fuck is she gonna do? She's just gonna be like,
she's gonna stand there, dude, like everybody else. Like fucking all these other people they hire that just fucking stand there and add nothing to the show. Like the guy behind Andrade and Chavo. She's gonna stand there. You act like they hire these people that just fucking stand there and do nothing. What is Vicky Guerrero even doing at this point?
Yeah. Match number 4, Darby Allin, John Moxley, Eddie Kingston versus the wingman of Cesar Bononi, JD Drake, and Ryan Nemeth. Crowd really wasn't into this match too much.
No, because these guys, nobody knows who these fucking guys are, man. Like, who gives a shit about these three idiots? And also, why is Moxley, isn't Darby Allin going to fight CM Punk? He's having a hard time with Goofy, Doofy, and Loopy. Who gives a fuck? Like, Darby, doesn't build him for the match.
No. Darby Allin hits the fucking coffin drop on JD Drake for the win. Afterwards, everybody's fighting and Darby Allin's in the ring. His music stops playing. The referee doesn't know what the fuck is why it's over. His music starts playing again. Then Daniel Garcia comes in and beats up Darby Allin. And then the music stops again. And then the faces come in. Daniel Garcia runs away. Then the music starts again. It was very weird. Somebody was fucking up the music.
Daniel Garcia has not won a match. Why do I give a shit if he's attacking these guys?
Not only has he not won a match, he got his ass beat clean by Darby Allin in a quick match. He got his ass beat quick by John Moxley in a quick match. Why do I need to take his attack seriously at this point?
Yeah, it's like, dude, this fucking, again, like another segment that was just a waste. It's just there to waste time. And you can't, like, this is why some guys look like shit on WWE. not everybody can look good because nobody takes these three idiots seriously. So when they're fucking, you know, really like Darby Allin struggling with them, it makes you think, well, Darby Allin's not that fucking good. Not everybody can. This is what I mean. Like, Tony Khan has to learn. I think Tony Khan, in this company, everyone gets a push. Not everybody can get a push because then nobody gets a push.
Daniel Garcia, I get it. You had two broken legs and you came back. Kudos to you. Congratulations.
Oh, by the way, did you see how Jim Ross kind of buried?
Here's the thing I need you to do. Here's the thing I need you to do, Daniel Garcia. You got a job now because of that. Go now, get a fucking gimmick. Find some character. Why does your fucking trunk, why does your trunk say Red Death behind it? Nothing of this shit is explained to me. Go fucking find something interesting about yourself and bring it back. Okay, you got a job now. Just do something different though, because you can't just be I'm the best fucking wrestler here. Like, there's too many of you guys. All right,
dude. Did you? I forgot to mention. Did you see what Jim Ross said about CM Punk? I thought it kind of like buried him. I don't think he meant it. He goes like, this young man. Well, I mean, he's young to me. And it's like, what, dude, why would you say it like that?
Well, one thing about CM Punk is he is fucking looking old.
Yeah. Well, let's keep it moving. Because
he's got white whiskers. His fucking bags look even heavier than normal. Yeah. He looks old. Tay Conte, who has not been seen on Dynamite in a very, very long time, is in the back going to be asked about the fucking Casino Battle Royale. That's coming up in All Out. Bunny interrupts and goes, hey, you want to join the Matt Hardy's group? I'm pretty sure she asked her this question like 8 months ago, and she's asking her again. She rips up the contract. They start fighting. They're going to have a match on Rampage. Nobody gives a fuck. Nobody cares. FTR gives an update. Cash Wheeler, he still hasn't got enough nerves back in his arm, but don't worry. We're going to have a match with fucking Santana Ortiz next week. I'm like, okay, it's fine.
So then you're not that injured.
Yeah. I got enough nerves yet, but I know.
Dude, why was that promo?
My nerves are gonna come back.
Why were they being positioned as the good guys when they're with? Did his group break up? Did the Pinnacle break up? Like, and they didn't tell us. Like, why are they being? That promo was like a good guy promo.
Yeah, just, I have no idea.
It's fucking horrible.
I have no idea. Stupid.
And then they're wearing another 80s tag team t-shirt to be like, hey, here's two guys that nobody fucking remembers.
You know me. I'm actually a big fan of AEW, but I'm in total agreement. This show is garbage, dude. This show is garbage.
I want to tell FTR, don't worry. I know you're a huge fan of like all these obscure 80s tag teams. You're going to be forgotten just like they are. So don't worry about it. You're going to go the same fucking route, guys. Dude,
just because you could be a fan of something and criticize it, and I think that's what a lot of wrestling fans have a problem with.
Yeah.
But this night, if anyone said tonight was a good show, you are talking out of your fucking ass.
Dude, man. This was everything they could have done wrong, they've done. You know what? This was the other thing too.
Yeah, everything
they've gotta trim the fat. They've gotta, you know, this whole Tony Khan was a fire. Anybody. Well, it's time. You don't need half these fucking losers on the show, man. You don't. There's no point, man. There's just no point to have these fucking. Tonight was like loser night. Tonight was like, well, we're gonna have all the losers come out tonight, and it just was like, but it was every segment had someone who's barely been on the show, and it stunk. It stunk. There's a reason why WWE like on SmackDown, like, hey, you know what? You know who? I know they're not there anymore, but just bear with me. Oh, this week we're gonna have Victor of the Ascension take on Bo Dallas for 20 minutes. Why? Well, they haven't been on the show for 4 weeks. Okay, you know why they've been on the show for 4 weeks? They fucking stink. That's why. Like, you can't just throw them on there. And that's what they did. Like, it's like, here's the Hollywood heartthrob and the other fucking two idiots, Caesar Baneri. I don't even know these fucking guys' names. Well, librarian, that's another guy. Like, librarian's the only person you've booked as a loser, but you can't then have the librarian. It was just fucking stupid.
He's not the librarian anymore. He's Peter Pretty Avalon.
Whatever. Yeah. I'm just saying that, like, you know, like, you can't. Okay, so fucking the Ascension's never on Raw, right? When they were there. The Ascension's never on Raw. You can't have the Ascension show up out of nowhere and have, like, a 20-minute competitive match with John Cena and Triple H. If you just can't do it, like, no one's going to want to watch it. Because they're like, these guys haven't been on the show. Why do I think, why? why are Triple H and John Cena not able to beat these guys?
Yeah. All right. So, basically, because Darby and Mox are like two of the top guys, and they're having a competitive match doing that. That's basically
the point. Yeah, it was stupid. And that's what I'm saying. It would be the same thing as if back in the day, John Cena and Triple H couldn't beat the Ascension. They're like, oh,
okay. Now we're going to come to a part which I know some people will probably say they love, but I didn't love, and I'll tell you why. Kenny Omega comes out with Don Callis and some other fucking jobbers. Christian comes right out right away, and he calls. They do that. They show you the clip of Don Callis giving Christian his first televised appearance and then firing him right afterwards, supposedly because Don Callis saw him as a threat. And Christian calls him a carny piece of shit. The crowd gets into that. They call him they chant piece of shit, piece of shit. Don Callis goes, yeah, I replaced you with Kenny Omega, my family. I heard my family. I'm in the same boat as Bill Watts, Eddie Graham, Vern Gagne and Vince McMahon, which gets a big boo. And then, what's his name? Kenny Omega. He goes, you think you know me? You think you know me? To Kenny Omega, I mean, to Christian. People fucking pop for that. They all start beating up on Christian, and Kazarian makes a save. I know people are going to love this because they were like, oh, do you get it? You think you know me? You think that's a callback to Edge. Oh, yeah. He said Vince McMahon. You know, like, so basically what you're telling me is that everything that kind of was like, oh, a cool moment, is all because it's all ripped off from WWE.
Mm-hmm.
The Yes Chance, Daniel Bryan, that's
from WWE. Was a big highlight. That was a big highlight.
Yeah, that's from WWE. That he didn't start doing that Yes Chance thing until he came to WWE. You Think You Know Me is also a WWE thing. Vince McMahon is clearly WWE. So you're telling me that unless you reference the other company, you can't pop the fucking crowd.
And it's hate stupid. To say it. But CM Punk came out last week to his WWE music.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And referenced the ice cream bars, which is a callback to his WWE promo. So this exactly. whole thing, that you're right. Like it's but this is what WCW used to do.
Yeah.
They were never like over just being WCW. It was like, dude, Kenny Omega and Don Callis were fucking awful. Now that CM Punk is in this company. And he's cutting promo. You can see there's the top guy and these guys. Mm-hmm. I think CM Punk might be the best worst thing to happen to them. Because he's...
I know what you mean. Go ahead.
Because it makes everyone else... Kenny Omega was horrible. Horrible. I don't care how good in the ring he is. I don't care. He is so bad at promos. He is so bad at playing a character. He's a fucking failure at that point. He's not that good. He's horrible. His promo work, you couldn't even get him in the lower mid-card of WWE, WCW in the 80s. His promo work is so fucking bad. And his presence and everything. It's an embarrassment. This whole segment was an embarrassment. The whole thing about Christian, my first match in 1996, just another old guy. I hated this segment. And then those two fucking idiots, Nakazawa and Brendan Cutler. Like why, if you're going to have the Elite Bullet Club, whatever the fuck this is, why not recruit like two guys who have talent? Why not put the Varsity Blondes with Kenny Omega or something? Why are these two guys? And it's just, and then they're beating up Christian, and then Frankie Kazarian comes in. And he's the Elite Hunter. If he's the Elite Hunter, why does he only come out after the Elite starts beating him? What is he in the back looking for the Elite? Like in the where
he
are
has
they?
Not hunted a single Elite member so
he
far.
He has he's not stuck. Succeeded doing it. Like the fucking Young Bucks are just sitting on the stage playing with their dicks. Where was this Elite Hunter?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's a very good point. And you're right. Kenny Omega is like the best worst thing that happens. You know why? Because if you bring in someone who's like A-list talent, you're either going to have – there's only two outcomes. One, he elevates everybody, or he fucking shines a spotlight on how shitty everybody is. And right now it is shining a spotlight on how shitty everybody is. Yeah, man, everything they do so far is been just like – they're popping off of WB callbacks. And I don't fucking like that. That's not good. At the end of the day, all that's going to make you do is think back to have give yourself nostalgia for WWE. Trust me, at the long, this is not going to be good for AEW if they keep doing these fucking callbacks. It's not good. It's not. Then we get a John Moxley promo in the back. He's mad. And I thought it was going to be about Daniel Garcia because of what just happened. It's not. He already forgot about it. He don't give a shit anymore.
He doesn't care.
He's like, ah, I sent the contract to Japan. He came back. And so Satoshi Kojima, he signed a contract. So I'm going to have a match with him fucking for the U.S. title at All Out, a Super Fit. And he bows. And he's like, oh, it's going to be a big deal. No, it's not. You know why? Because
nobody knows who this fucking guy is.
No, people know who. Yeah,
like
yeah.
The regular that, viewer. And okay. Also, why can't you show a picture of this fucking guy?
Yeah. Here's another reason why. It's like Kojima is not a young man. He's very, very old now. Mm-hmm. And he's at the tail end of his career. So he was a guy who was at Impact and he was like losing to fucking like. He lost. I forgot. He lost to like Joe Doring and shit. He was like losing a couple of matches.
Oh yes, I remember that. Yes, they did have him on there losing to Joe Doring.
Yeah. Yes. So this guy is like the big deal challenger. He's fucking losing to like Joe Doring on Impact. Like no, it's like, ugh.
Dude, they just say this guy's name. I would get it if he said, "I'm gonna fight Hulk Hogan. I'm gonna fight Ric Flair." Right. You don't have to show a picture of that guy. But yeah, if you say this guy's name and then he just walks away. Show me a fucking picture, bro. Show some video footage.
Yeah, do just show something. Me a video package of his best shit. Like, oh,
be like, oh, this guy was just on Impact. Here he is on Impact. Like, show something. You can't just say this fucking guy's name. And then like, they act like everyone that watches this show. And they still do this shit. And, like, dude, this is the chance to stop that. They act like everyone on this show just sits. Is you. I'm sorry, no offense. But that they just sit and watch wrestling and sit on it. You can't assume, dude. That's like,
it's like you. Oh shit! Sorry.
That's the fucking.
No, here's the thing. Ray is
that's
right.
That's like the fucking Flash show. That's like on the middle of the Flash show. They just have a scene where like a character starts listing, like starts complaining about Legion of Superhero members, and they don't mention them. He's like, well, you fucking. If you're watching, you must like DC Comics. So you must have read Legion of Superheroes. No, it doesn't work like that. Like, fucking tell me, show me who this fucking guy is. I should have to pull up my phone and type in this fucking idiot's name so I can see who he is and what he looks like. That makes no sense. No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, no, you're right. They are booking the show like everybody in the audience is like me, but they're not. That's the whole point. It's not. And here's the thing. Even though they're booking for people like me, I don't fucking like that shit. Don't book it. People like me, because it reminds me that I am what I am. I don't want to know that. So, by the way, the best analogy for Kojima would probably be closest thing right now would be like a rhino. Like, well, rhino used to be a big fucking deal, right? Mm-hmm. And fierce, and he could still wrestle, but nobody fucking believes that he's going to be like a real contender, right? He's at the end of his career. That's kind of like what Kojima is. By the way, going back to the Moxley, the Kenny Omega segment. I know people are going to say it was a fucking dragon on his shirt. It's not, okay? It's a Korean shirt. It's a fucking tiger because tigers are the Korean, like, national animal. It's a fucking tiger's face. If you look at it closely, it's not a fucking dragon. It's a tiger.
Well, he's probably so stupid he thought it was a dragon.
Yeah, yeah. It says Tebak on it, which is, like, you know.
I know, but he only wrestles the Tokyo Dome, not the Korean Dome.
So. Yeah, so he doesn't know. He doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. Then comes... Dude, you know what's so funny? Like, oh man, this show is just so bad. It was so bad.
It was so bad, dude.
There isn't a single segment that I did not have a problem with in this match, in this whole show.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, there isn't a single thing. So then we get match number 5, Big Show joins on commentary. It is the Gun Club, all 3 members of the Gun Club, Billy Gunn, Colton Gunn, and fucking Austin Gunn versus... the factory of QT Marshall, fucking Nick Camarado, and Aaron Solo. There's the point where, so QT's got a match coming up with Big Show at All Out. So like, Show's on commentary. So QT, he's got an advantage. He starts jawjacking with Show, who's at commentary, and Show like stands up. So it like QT gets distracted. He's like, oh, go back, sit back down. He fucking walks right into a fucking roll up by Colton. So Colton pins QT and the Gun Club wins. And that's it. QT's got a match coming up with the Big Show. And he can't beat Colton Gunn.
Dude. Okay. Okay. Billy Gunn and Big Show had a segment on the show that's supposed to destroy WWE, who, by the way, had the biggest SummerSlam in company history the other day. Like, and then the guy feuding with Big Show, the guy who's feuding with, having Big Show's first match in this new company, that guy can't beat Billy Gunn and his two stupid kids. Then why, like, you couldn't even have this guy beat Billy Gunn? Like, just have him beat Billy Gunn. Nobody cares. Yeah. Nobody has ever liked Billy Gunn. I remember, like, nobody has ever liked Billy Gunn. Nobody has any nostalgia for Billy Gunn. He sucks. He's a failure. He's always been a failure. Why the fuck is this guy on the TV show getting wins? Why? Well, I don't understand it. I don't understand why you couldn't have QT Marshall just beat. I thought he was only on the show. Just, you know what I think would happen with Tony Khan? He was going around getting his dick sucked about how great the CM Punk segment was. And it was like, later on, it was like over the weekend, like, what are we going to do for Dynamite? You know what? We should put on everybody who hasn't been on lately because they deserve to get some shine. So it was like Losers Night. He's like, we'll get Billy Gunn on there. We'll get da-da. And it sucked. This segment was like something out of WWE Raw in 2002. That's how bad it was. Like a really bad 2002 Raw segment was this fucking Billy Gunn segment.
This, yeah. Yeah, it is what it is. I mean, you know what? One thing, this was probably the least botchy fucking match of the night. I'm being serious. This was probably... No, wait. Was there some botches in this match? I'm trying to think. I think Colton fucked up a couple of times. He may have.
Okay.
Well, whatever. It wasn't that. It was whatever. It doesn't matter. No one's going to remember this match. Then comes Dan Lambert. He's in the back with Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky. He starts cutting a promo. Now, he's not screaming this time. He's just talking. But I don't know what the fuck he was talking. He was talking about, I guess, AEW being stupid, but it was so long, dude. It was so long. Do you remember this?
What was it again?
Dan Lambert, he's in the back with...
Oh, my God, this is fucking horrible. This was one of the worst fucking things on the show.
What was he talking about, dude?
He was just complaining about millennials. Like, it was so bad. Dude, this was another thing that was just... And here's the thing. Here's
so long.
This was the other thing that pissed me off about this fucking segment. That I was livid. I was fucking livid. I'll tell you what fucking really got me was the fact that they shit on the crying guy in this promo. And after he said, "No, the fans, what are you crying for? Somebody showed up to work." When they fucking had Tony Khan chastise everybody, they had CM Punk. If you make fun of the crying guy, you make fun of me. Everybody fucking defend this guy. Everybody said how wonderful this guy was, and we're all a bunch of dicks, and we make fun of him. We're a bunch of jerk-offs. But then they have this fucking goofy old man who is not a draw. This just reminded me of TNA. And you have him make fun of this guy in this segment that goes nowhere. Ethan Page looks horrible. This poor... he should stay with TNA. This fucking thing is horrible. Why are these two guys with him? Why does everybody need to be paired up with everybody? Like, that's what doesn't make... Like, Ethan Page doesn't need to be with Scorpio Sky, and Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page don't need to be with this old man. It's fucking stupid. It's really fucking stupid. And why does this old man even need to be on AEW? What is the point? Why is he taking up TV time? Why? Nobody... It's horrible.
And we all know Ethan Page can cut a promo, too. So why the fuck... Yes. Was he standing there letting this guy, Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky said nothing. They said nothing. They looked like fucking henchmen. I was like,
he's standing there going, well, this fucking guy's going on about fucking TikTok videos.
Dude, it was so long.
Dude, stop bringing in all these fucking people. Stop it. You don't have enough time or show to get over. Vicky Guerrero never talks anymore. You're having this guy talk? Get the fuck out of here. This guy's a nobody. This guy was a loser in TNA in 2017. And you're fucking... Why? why would you put this? It's just like, dude, stop bringing in these people. Stop it. Stop it. These people don't belong on national TV. Stop it. What are you doing? What the fuck are you doing? Like, just fucking have Ethan Page be by himself and cut from like. Why does everyone have to be together?
You actually paid attention to the promo more than I did because I didn't even I could not.
It was horrible.
Yeah,
I was just this is fucking stupid. It was like, dude, what are you doing? What the fuck are you doing? What the fuck are you doing after Friday?
You know how bad this show was? I want to slap Lester Khan in the face. Like, I really want to slap him in the face. And I just want to be like, that's for fucking making me waste 2 hours tonight. Like, that's for fucking doing. You fucking idiot, dude. You're such a fucking idiot. Yeah. God, I'm not fucking watching Rampage this Friday. You know, whatever. I don't need to. All right. Arn Anderson in the back, standing in front of his Brock Anderson's fucking dressing room, and they ask him about his son. He goes, Malachi Black's been wrestling for like 19 years. My son's had 6 matches, and he's in the main event because nepotism. And dude, and he's like, he's going to get killed. Arn Anderson talked way too much in the segment too. He talked way too much, dude. Like, there was, like, he could have said less. He didn't need to say. It wasn't as long as what Dan Lambert was saying, but it was still way too fucking long. I was like, dude, like, just get to the point. Just get to the point. My son's gonna get his ass kicked. Just say it. Match number 6, Aleister Black versus Brock Anderson, which everybody knew this was gonna be a squash. And it was a squash. And they put this as the main event. A fucking squash match with a guy who had 6 matches in his whole career, they felt would be a worthy main event for the show. And Aleister Black fucking bloodies this guy up, right? This guy's bleeding too. They mentioned that this is Brock Anderson's first singles match. This guy's main eventing his first singles match? Get the fuck out of here. Fucking Aleister Black hits a fucking black mass. And to Brock Anderson's credit, he sells it like $1 million. The crowd loves the black mass. They're cheering for him. He stands there for a while and then finally goes down for the cover. He wins. Arn Anderson comes in. He beats up Arn Anderson. Then the music changes and then fucking Lee Johnson comes into the ring. But Black just fucking walks away and he stares off
at Lee Johnson. Apparently he's scared of Lee Johnson.
Dude, Lee Johnson is like another guy that you've just like, you only bring him on Dynamite to lose. You never bring, like, he only wins on Dark. Like, he's
supposed and to be now the threat. Aleister Black or whatever the fuck is Malachi, whatever. I don't know. Dude, first off, let me just say something too. And this is goes back to this thing. So I listen to Arn Anderson's podcast, right? And on the podcast, he has said over and over again that he can't take any bumps. You know, he had to retire because one bump could have killed him. No bumps. I couldn't do any bumps. WWE wouldn't let me do bumps. WCW wouldn't let me do bumps. WCW wouldn't let me do bumps. I don't want to do bumps. Da, 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 da. It could be really bad for my body. All this shit. Now this guy is so much older and fatter than he was in 98, 99. Why the fuck? Why the fuck do you feel it's necessary to have this poor fucking old man take bumps? But here's the other problem.
Was he really taking a bump?
What?
Was he really taking a bump, though?
Yes, he really shouldn't be falling like that, bro. From what he said, and from all these years, I'm not him, but from what he said, he can't fall like that. Like, it's not safe for him to do that, right? Mm-hmm. But he's doing it for whatever fucking, probably so his son gets on TV. He's doing it. But he shouldn't be in that position. First of all, that shouldn't even be a consideration. You're sitting in a room and you're like, there's a million ways to get Aleister Black over. It's not being up on Anderson. Here's the other problem. Arn Anderson blocked the first kick. So if this guy is such a fucking unbeatable monster, why is Arn Anderson blocking the first kick? That's like, oh God, that's like Gerald Briscoe fucking getting out of the F5. That's in like 2002. It's like, well, he's really tough. No, really, he's still looking at the Brock Lesnar must be a fucking pussy, right? Because Gerald Briscoe can outsmart him in 2002. So, and the other thing too is like the music changes. The camera, the music changes. So it's clearly someone's supposed to be running in. The crowd doesn't react. The announcers don't react. And because I don't think they know what Lee Johnson's music is. I thought, is this new music? Or maybe this is the start of Alistair's song. Nobody reacts to it. It was, and then this guy comes out who's just the loot. Like, dude, it's like on Thursday, if Roman Reigns was beating up like fucking Brock Lesnar, Cedric Alexander came running out. And Roman Reigns
No. No, it's like if Humberto Carrillo came out.
And Roman Reigns is like, whoa.
Yeah, because people will be like, they won't even recognize his music. They'll be like, who's this guy? You know?
Yeah.
Like, nobody, it's so fucking
why
dumb.
Why would you end this show with Lee Johnson? With Lee Johnson?
So stupid, this show.
I just show put it, so and then cool. The other thing, too, is, dude, he looks like he has a skin infection. Who told him that makeup is a good idea? Who actually thinks this makeup is a good idea?
Yeah.
You can't let the guys do whatever they want. You can't. Like, half, like, some of these guys are fucking idiots, including Malachi Alistair Black. That dude looks like a skin infection. Looks, it's so distracting.
This show is so bad. If anything, Ray, I know you're going to hate this, but I need you to, like, stop watching Dynamite. Because something about you watching Dynamite always makes it a bad episode. I need to go back to you not watching it for it to become good again. It just so is so fucking bad. Tonight's show was like nothing. Like
you know why it was bad. Here's why it's bad. Number one, this guy has overhired. He has too many people on his show.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't deserve. And he, number two, he felt the need because he thought to spotlight the lesser wrestlers. And I think I get where he's coming from, but it's fucking dumb because Lee Johnson and half these other people shouldn't even be on your roster, right? Mm-hmm. That's number two. So that's, I think those two things why it was bad. And number three, this guy was just too cocky. He just got too cocky. He thought he could do whatever he wants. You've got to trim the roster and you've got to just spotlight your best. You can't have this many people on your roster. So many of them fucking stink. Fucking stink. And they're not going to get better on national TV.
This guy, you know, like, you see how frustrated we are? This level of frustration is usually reserved for Raw. That's how bad tonight's show was. Yeah, tonight's show is really, really fucking bad.
It's not going to be the worst thing in the world for Red Velvet or Lee Johnson to travel the world and work indies, and then you rehire them in 2 to 3 years. And then they're going to be over.
I'm going to say this. If anybody claims that this is a good show, tonight's show is good, I seriously will say you should question whether or not they are reviewing shows without a bias. Show is really fucking bad.
If these wrestling reporters says this is a good show.
Yeah.
One guy who always shills for AEW hated today's episode, which I knew it was bad. This guy loves to shill, Rob Naylor. And I tweeted him, I thought the Arn Anderson thing was horrible. And he said, well, that was the one thing I did like. This is the other thing I want to say to people. Stop. Not the people, Tony Khan. Stop booking. Stop booking for fans of obscure 80s stuff. I like Arn Anderson too. I do. He should not be the centerpiece of your show.
This should not have been the main event. This should not have been.
Arn Anderson shouldn't be the centerpiece of your show in 1992, let alone now. He was always, the reason why I like Arn Anderson is he was always a great utility player. And now I feel like he's probably a really good teacher. But that's what he should be doing. You shouldn't have Arn Anderson. And I'm telling you right now, these are all stuff that Vince notices. Like, well, they're not gonna beat him. You don't have Arn Anderson on your payroll to take bumps. You have him there for his knowledge. And the fact that he's not using his knowledge and he's taking fucking bumps shows me you're a fucking mark idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this guy is a really bad neck, and you're making him fall on his back. It's fucking stupid. And it's not getting a Malachi Black over. It's not. It's just dumb. It is no reason to waste. This was so bad, man. This was like Impact level bad. This is like, you know, I'm sitting there on Friday being like, oh my God, it's back. I thought like we had the Morgan and then this shit. And it's like, oh, fuck.
If anybody says,
it made me mad.
Yeah. If anybody reviews the show as a pod, the show is great or good. I never want to hear somebody quote them to me ever again. Because I'm going to say, you're fucking telling me what this guy fucking said, this fucking idiot who's fucking clearly biased. Like, I'm not fucking listening. That's like when someone was telling me like, what's that fucking movie? Shakespeare in Love was better than fucking Saving Private Ryan. I stopped listening to those people.
Okay. Well, you know what? Another thing people do, and this is what's fucking stupid.
What?
Well, Raw sucked, so this must be good. No. They both sucked this week.
They both sucked.
Karrion Kross thing was just as fucking stupid as the Arn Anderson thing. It was both just dumb, except one was done maliciously. I do think when they fuck up like this, I don't think Tony Khan's doing this to, like, hurt anybody. I think he really...
No.
I think he thinks, I'm getting Arn Anderson over, I'm getting Aleister Black over, and I'm getting his son over. Yay! Yeah. No, you're getting no one over. That's the difference between Tony Khan and Vince. The Karrion Kross thing is done maliciously, both to him and Ricochet.
Yeah.
This was... Everything on this show is done with good intentions. You need a little bit of Vince in you. You need to know, I can't have all these people on, or if I'm going to have them on, I got to make them, you know... If fucking Ryan Nemeth is going to fight Darby Allin like 10 days before All Out, Darby Allin has to destroy him.
I don't care if it's done maliciously or if it's done unintentionally. Either way, it's bad TV.
It's bad.
If but it's my bad thing is, TV, it's bad TV.
Just accept, like, if you're a wrestling fan, when AEW and WWE are bad in the same week, just learn to accept it. Just because WWE is bad, I didn't watch Raw, it sounded like the fucking pits.
Oh, I watched AEW. It was awful, dude.
AEW can be just as bad. So
yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I would bet anything Impact's gonna be the best show of the week. But we are not gonna know because we're not watching it. I bet
you go for a walk. Go fucking fish, go to a nice restaurant, go watch a movie. Do anything besides watch wrestling this week. It's fucking awful.
Guys, we will be back next week, maybe Tuesday. I'm not sure, but definitely not Monday and definitely not Friday, and definitely not tomorrow. But we'll see you sometime. The future.
Yeah.
Thank you.